Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you guys, it's just me, Paula Poundstone. I'm just taking a minute to wash my hands before we begin the show this week. You know, we really hope that you're not sick or quarantined, but it's logical, because we believe in science, that many of us will be in the coming days. So please know that you nobodies are the world to us, and we hope that a little bit of laughter goes a long ways towards making you feel better. Fuck, I just got water up my sleeve. I hate that.
Coming to you live from the Starburn Studio in Burbank, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, depression. You're feeling sad and anxious with a side dish of hopelessness. Are you depressed or are you just paying attention to the news? Therapist Mark Weiss is here to counsel us on the difference between being depressed and being well-informed. Plus, Tony Anita Hull has a message for India. India, you're gonna love us. You're as upset as we are about the new Butterfinger recipe, India, so we're the podcast for you. Wouldn't that sari look great in a tri-poly blend with a drawing over the left breast and a quotation on the back? And now, please enjoy these additional bars of French horn music while I wash my hands. I'm Adam Felber, the man who gives this show a weekly treatment of talk therapy, attempting to keep our conversation from veering into madness. And now, please welcome the woman who delivers a conversational electroshock to any topical thread, Paula Poundstone! Welcome, Paula, and thank you to tonight's house band, French horn virtuoso, our returning champion, Jacqueline Rainey. Whoa. Yeah. Paula, the show has started.
Oh, I'll be right there, just washing up. You know,
that's good audio.
Yeah.
Okay. Understandable, though.
Yeah. They say you're supposed to go, happy birthday to you. I have like one layer of skin left, by the way.
Yeah, you've been washing a lot.
I've been doing a lot of hand wash. They say you're supposed to sing happy birthday because that's the right amount of time.
Apparently it's a 20-second song.
Yeah. I've been doing Anna Gotta Da Vida.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do Anna Gotta Da Vida. Don't do Stairway to Heaven. Don't do Hey Jude. Don't do any... Well, stay away... Bohemian Rhapsody. Stay away from prog rock.
Sometimes I do American Pie, but it's not all that long because I don't know all the words. So I do like... Bye, bye, Miss American Pie.
Yeah. So you're pausing a lot.
Exactly.
And washing absently.
But it doesn't take as long because I don't know all the words.
Well, but we are keeping...
And you know, one thing, you're supposed to do...
You know, you're still rubbing your hands.
No, because you know what? You're supposed to do the tops of your hands as well, which is new for me. I never did the tops of my hands
before.
What do you
mean the tops? Except for our listeners who aren't looking at you like I am.
Okay, the back of your hand. You're supposed to do the back of your hand, the part of your hand that security uses to touch your sensitive parts.
Wait, which hand?
When you're at the airport, they always say, I'm going to use the back of my hand to touch your sensitive parts. What? As if that makes any difference at all.
I've never had the sensitive parts touched at the airport. So nobody's ever warned me in advance they were using the back of my hand.
Well, you have to ask for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, really, do they touch your sensitive parts a lot in the airport?
They do, yeah.
And they say, I'm going to touch the...
When you get the pat down, they say I'm going to use the front of my hand for the regular parts of your body. And when I come to the sensitive parts, I'm going to use the back of your hand. As if that makes any difference to
anybody.
You know
what? Now that you phrase it that way, I do remember that happening to me. And I think I just blocked it because... Because it felt so violent, such a violation. I'm going to need Mark Weiss in here.
Yeah,
Mark,
that's what they said.
I don't
feel
good about the way they touched me.
So you have to, you're supposed to wash the backs of your hands, which I never even thought about
the
backs
of course,
of my
because
hands before.
Think about it. When you, when you feel a little sniffle like I just did, what do you do instantly?
Oh.
You run the back of your finger under your nose.
Yeah, sometimes I guess I do come to think of it.
And I have learned in the last couple of weeks that I am a goddamn face toucher.
Oh, I'm a face toucher.
I can't stop. I'm getting better at not touching other people's faces.
Yeah.
Especially since the restraining order started coming through. Yeah. But my face is just asking for it, if you ask me.
I mean, I have terrible allergies, and so my nose itches all the time.
Right.
So that's one reason. And then the other reason is my hair, flies forward into my face. I'm forever having to pull my hair out.
That's true. I see you do that all the time.
And it's always sort of poking me. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'm a beard stroker. I've got this little, goatee thing that I do this to.
He's very pensive.
Yeah.
Rodin's the thinker.
Yeah.
You can't even go near him now.
That guy died.
Yeah.
The model for that, you died of some wasting flu of the 19th century.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I mean, I really have been washing my hands on a regular basis. And I do it like a fly.
Well, you look, I would have described that either as a fly or a squirrel, what you're doing.
Oh,
there.
Do they? Yeah, they kind of do.
You have that kind of like hand over hand sort of squirrel.
Tony Neal,
get in there and get a shot of Paula.
Squirrels always
flying
need to do the backs
squirreling.
Of their hands. That's why they don't have this virus.
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I'm perfectly healthy.
You're feeling healthy.
Knock wood or
that's
knock
good.
Plastic.
Right. Don't knock glass because we don't want to wake people up in the incubator. By the way, everybody, we're in the second week in our new studios. We love Starburns Audio, but we've got Land and Jessica behind the glass here, and
they're
going to be released from the hospital soon.
Yeah. They didn't used to record this way, but since the virus, they've put up this. I brought last week. I brought the snake plant that we got a couple weeks ago. When we had the plant lady on, she gave us each a plant. You bitched about yours, but mine.
You got a nicer one.
That was the weirdest moment. That was like being at your kid's birthday party before they've really learned manners.
This is not the difference between getting like a blue and a purple bubble bear or something.
No,
you have an objectively nicer looking spider.
She
plant,
gave you
I mean, snake
a
plant.
Plant. She didn't have to give you anything. We gave her nothing. We gave her grief. But I did. She gave me a lovely snake plant.
She did.
And you know, the thing is, these plants, she said that she was giving us like a plant for beginners.
Yeah.
I'm such a beginner that honestly, I didn't even read the little tag on it. Planted like in the dirt beside it. I was expecting it to grow, but it has instructions on it. And I didn't even read that. I had put it in one of the bathrooms in my house, and I just left it there because it was the only place the cat wouldn't knock it over.
Okay.
And then, like, about a couple weeks after I had it, I happened to read the instructions.
Okay.
And it said, if in doubt about whether or not it needs water, wait another week.
Okay.
That's how independent
this plant is. Yeah,
and
you know, then, mine said the other day when I tried to water it, it said, I don't need your help, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's very much, it's become like a teenager. Yeah. And now I open that bathroom door and it's like, get out! I don't want you! And so I brought
it. What was it doing in there?
I brought it here, hoping that it would, you know, socialize
a little bit better.
Yeah, and absolutely. it really is thriving.
It looks, I mean, my plant still looks like it did the day I got it.
Yours this one looks bigger since I brought it here last week.
Definitely bigger.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird.
Yeah, I think it's.
Purportedly, we had the same species of plant, but like.
Yeah. Well, and it's not getting, I mean, these windows. The plant may think this is sunlight coming through the windows.
No, it's just a dark.
This is a protective
chamber containing Land and Jessica on the other side.
This is just to keep us separated from these new people.
These newborns.
Right, because that's the baby.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The baby
ward.
It's
the incubator.
Yeah, they're in there.
The maternity ward. The incubator. I don't know. What do you call that thing? I don't know, but I just know that they're starting to follow us with their eyes when you move your hand around, which is a great development.
That's a really good sign.
They're so cute at this
that's
stage.
A very
producers
good
and
sign.
Stuff. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're adorable. All right, so you know what? I did interview. You know how I'm always telling you how I suck at interviews?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't imagine why that would be.
So I did an interview like just a couple days ago.
Right.
And Bonnie, I told Bonnie it didn't go well. And
Bonnie
said,
Burns, Captain Crinkle, your
Captain
manager
Crinkle.
And our producer.
That's correct.
Thanks for crinkling, Bonnie.
She's the audio equivalent
of a visual aid.
I said, I did this interview the other day. It didn't go very well. And she goes, well, who was it with? And I said, well, I don't remember. And she said, well, what was it for? And I said, well, I don't remember. She goes, could we get a tape of it? I said, I don't know because I don't remember.
I was not in that conversation.
It was such a frustrating conversation to have.
Right. So I'm guessing when you got here tonight, she said, so did you bring the tape?
Yeah. I remember all the information about it.
What do you remember?
Here's what I remember about it. Okay. No one ever expects me to really... So the lady said to me, she said, what is it you want your audience members to leave with from your live shows? And I hear myself, you know, 20 minutes of, you know, humanity, blah, 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 chemical balance, blah, blah, blah. And when I finally was, you could tell that she was just like, And when I finally hung up the phone, I thought, why do I do that? Why not?
There's an obvious correct answer.
What do you want your audience to leave with? Having a good time. Boom. Done.
How about a t-shirt?
I want them to, well, no, a pussy pillow
a
for
pussy
having
pillow.
Sex. Boom.
Yeah.
Done. You know, what do you want them to leave with? I don't know why I can't just do that. Because I could be back at sifting litter boxes or vacuuming.
Yeah, maybe that's why you do that. You're like, please.
No,
just keep
I like
me out
those
for-
things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not, you know, sore cheeks. That would be good. 2 seconds, right?
Sore cheeks. Sore
done.
Cheeks.
Boom.
You mean from sitting or from laughing?
From laughing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think sore cheeks is a little too ambiguous.
I think she had sore cheeks from me doing the interview, but that
I've
was from
I've been your co-host
sitting.
For over a year now, Paula.
Yeah. You've had some sore cheeks yourself?
I can't feel anything below the waist anymore.
That's why you didn't know about the pat-down.
That's exactly it. But, you know, on the subject of swag that you can buy at your shows, did you know that you can buy that online now at paulapoundstone.com?
The store is up on the new website.
Okay, now we've been making fun of Bonnie Burns for months now. And in fairness, it's because she's been lying to us. But as of right now, paulapoundstone.com doesn't just feature our podcast. It features the t-shirts, it features the baseball shirt, and it features the Poundstone's pussy pillows, the cat toy filled with catnip directly from Paula's garage.
Yeah, that Wendell is very upset about. Wendell, my assistant, makes them in what Adam has pointed out is basically a sweatshop that we've turned my son's old bedroom into.
It is a sweatshop.
Yeah, he's in there all by himself with the sewing machine. He has like
And no, you don't give him health care, I take it.
Oh, no. he keeps the back door open because he says otherwise all the catnip, he gets catnip lung. The dust of the nip lung goes into his lungs.
I remember nip lung.
And then the pod puppy keeps walking in with his dirty ball and dropping it like where the
the cloth is. And so I was like, God damn it, get out of
here.
This is the
worst advertisement for your product ever. Nobody's going to want to touch it now.
No, it's
he sterilizes it afterwards.
It's beautiful. No, he doesn't drop the ball on the cloth. And if he did, Wendell wouldn't use that piece.
Right.
He's very careful. He
is.
Said today, because there's a cat joke printed on one side.
Right.
And it's a little joke that I wrote, but he made a rubber stamp so that he can print it. And today, because it was raining, there was moisture in the air, and it would run a little bit. It wouldn't go on just quite right.
The
and
quip?
He threw all those away, the ones that didn't print properly.
And this kind of brings me to a point that I want to make, and I guess while you can, listeners might want to take advantage of it. Your website, can I say this? You're selling the pussy pillow for $15?
Yeah, so far.
These are handmade, personalized Paula Poundstone cat toys. Like at a store near me, that's almost as much as I'd pay for a regular old catnip mouse.
$15 for a catnip
mouse? Well, maybe
no,
a pack of
three. That's a live mouse that has
maybe
catnip in it.
What I'm saying is
it's in its cheeks.
It's a bargain that might cause Wendell to starve to death is what I'm saying.
I can't do everything for Wendell. I can't.
You could raise the price of the pussy pillows.
You know what happened? Somebody, when the guy who was making the website, he put the site up, but he put a banner on the store saying the store is not available yet.
Yes.
But he was testing something and he took it down just for a few minutes.
Right.
And within that few minutes, and he had the wrong price. Uh-huh. Within that few minutes, someone ordered.
Yeah. Our listeners have been talking about how they want to get in there and buy that stuff.
Well, it had a $30 price on it. Somebody bought two of them for $30.
Send them four.
Actually, I do think that's what happened. So he ordered two for $30. So when I found out about it, I wrote to him and I said, look, it was an accident. You've been overcharged. We don't know how to refund money yet.
Promise that by the time you hear this podcast, we will have solved money refunding. Bonnie Burns? It's already up, right?
I said, if we don't know how within a week, then I will just write you a check. And I guess he wrote back and said he wanted five. Not checks, pussy pillows.
Oh, so he wants one bonus one for paying too much at first?
No, I think he was going to pay for that bonus one.
Okay.
But I did think it was that few minute window.
It's amazing.
And he had the wrong price.
I'm sure by the time people
are
hearing this.
What if it had been like $1,000 and he had the wrong price? Do you think the guy still would have done it?
I'm more worried about Wendell because I think nobody's going to be ordering those things in droves.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I think
he thinks so too.
I think Wendell is fucked.
I keep telling him. He's like, we can't do this international. He was so upset when he heard we were going to sell them on the website. And I said, well, Wendell, that's the whole point is to sell them. And he was like, God damn it. And I said, I don't think it's going to be any different than anything else I sell, which is, we're barely surviving. And he was like, no, it is.
But this is a podcast specific treat and it's functional.
Well, keep in mind, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
All right. Once we solve that little problem, we'll be fine, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, we'll be fit as a fiddle.
Hey, I have a word.
You do?
I do have a word. It's temerity. It's a noun that means rash or presumptuous daring. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. Some Christians have the temerity to suggest that atheists have just not yet come around to Christian beliefs.
Oh, that's an interesting usage of it.
Yeah.
Have the temerity to suggest that your belief system is just because you're unevolved.
Right, exactly.
I get it. That's a good use of temerity.
That we haven't selected to be atheists, but rather, right.
You don't know enough about the cosmos yet to realize that there is a supreme being wearing a peplos.
That God is...
Is that a peplos that God wears?
Does God wear peplos?
Like on the Sistine Chapel. Is that a peplos?
I haven't seen the Sistine Chapel.
Really? He's wearing something, isn't he? Or is that...
I would hope.
I think he... Well, Adam's not.
Nobody draws God, do they? No, they draw
Jesus.
Yeah,
they did. No, they drew... God's on the Sistine Chapel.
No, I think that might
be
Jesus.
Yeah, no, he's reaching out his finger to Adam and giving him life.
No, that's Bernie.
That's Bernie Sanders?
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah, I could barely find this place. Bonnie Burns told me it was 10 minutes from Ray Horseman Studios, and it is not 10 minutes. I don't, Bonnie Burns, I don't know why you do that thing Me, Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, we figured that out,
Bernie.
Welcome.
I don't know why you do that producery thing where you tell someone to get them to go along that it's going to be easy and that it isn't easy at all. You wring every last bit of life out of someone with this producer technique that you use.
Senator Sanders.
She says it's not going to take effort. It did take effort. It took a lot effort.
Look, I feel like you're overwrought. You definitely have had a challenging month, to say the
least.
It's
been very difficult, and coming here, it's 10 minutes. She said, just go to Ray Horseman Studios and then come from there.
Yeah.
Well, that's absurd. It's a waste of a lot of time and effort.
We'll get you a snack. How about that, Senator Sanders? Would that be a nice little snack?
I'd enjoy a snack. Could I have a chair?
Yeah, here you go.
I would wonder, Adam, if you could get Paula to do her vocabulary song.
All right, well, sit down, Senator Sanders, and I will ask Paula. Paula Poundstone, are you ready to sing your vocabulary?
I would like to add temerity to my... As you recall, Adam, we left off last week.
Yes.
When we left off last week, some of the words in our vocabulary song were really beginning to take root.
Okay.
Just a shout out to Cardi B, by the way. Don't let that intimidate you. Keep working on your vocabulary song.
Yes, if you didn't hear episode 83 or something, Cardi B is apparently working on a version of a vocabulary song for us.
Yeah, she is. Okay. And we heard a little bit of it already. Thank you, Cardi B. We heard a little bit of it already, and it was fantastic.
Was it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just do this.
Ready? Okay, here it is.
Jacqueline, you can feel free to play along.
Oh, yeah. She's shaking her head. No, I can't believe that this doesn't draw her in. This week's word is temerity. It's a noun that means rash or presumptuous daring. Last week's word was aplomb. It's a noun that means calm self-confidence. Will I ever have that? Not a chance. The week before that, the word was vituperative. It's an adjective that means bitter and abusive. What a shitty life you live. Ooh, that would be vituperative. Going back before that, we had Lilliputian. It's an adjective that means very small or unimportant. Also, it's a noun that means very small or unimportant person or thing. Never mind, it doesn't matter. And not long ago, the word was prandial. It's an adjective that means of or relating to a meal. I don't like the mashed potatoes with the peel. That would be a prandial conversation. Let's never forget gallimafree. It's a noun that means confused jumbler medley of things. Hodgepodge, hoochpodge, hodgepodge. Adam doesn't think my song is replicable. Replicable, replicable, but I do, I do, I do, I do.
Nice.
Wow.
Paula.
Whoa, boy, it's really coming
together. I want to say a couple of things.
Jacqueline, I don't understand why you didn't want to join in on that song.
I got to say, Paula.
You know, there's nothing like the glockenspiel and a French horn jamming over a vocabulary song.
There's truly nothing in the world that is like that. I want to say a couple of things. Number one, your song is...
replicable.
It's becoming replicable.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
You're actually using the same lines week after week now, and you're rhyming, which is a hallmark of... And these are not things that you were doing at the beginning. There are some rhymes now, and you're doing lines
always,
again and again.
No, there were always rhymes.
Okay.
No.
If you think so. But now
they're always fantastic.
I hate to ruin your
rhymes.
Song, but I think it's becoming replicable.
It is replicable.
So now what are you going to do about the line that Adam doesn't think my song is replicable?
Adam didn't used to think my song was replicable.
Okay.
There we go. How about that?
And then just one other, and this is a small note, and I really shouldn't
have. I schooled Adam. How about that?
Yeah, okay. The Lilliputian.
Yes.
You added an extra line and then said, never mind, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Now, as a songwriter, what I would think is I would just take out that and the line that didn't matter.
Small and unimportant.
Yeah.
Never mind, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
See, I was using it.
I see.
It's a nuanced song.
It is a very nuanced song. I feel like it might have rocketed beyond me, but not musically, really.
Let me just tell you something. Uh-huh. In December, I worked with Don McLean.
The guy whose song you can't remember.
American Pie.
Yes.
Vincent. You know.
Vincent?
The song Vincent?
Oh, yes.
Starry, Starry Night.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's about Vincent van Gogh. Yeah, painter. Got it.
Well, he came to me and asked me for pointers.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said, you know, could I help him make his songs more layered and
a little
nuanced.
Stickier, as they say in the business.
No, he wanted it to, you know, he said, like your vocabulary song.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I put my arm over his shoulder and I said, I don't think I can help.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I'm going to leave that story right there on the floor.
All right.
Just like
there
they're not going to scoop it up.
There it is.
I'll let the janitor take care of that tonight. All right, coming up. Susan Sontag said, depression is melancholy minus its charms. Therapist Mark Weiss is here to help us open up our pill cases of depression and sort out what needs Prozac and what needs a handkerchief to cry in. That's coming up when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. On this day in unremarkable history, Pontius Pilate said, "Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you."
There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven.
You're getting a really thorough wash
when
there.
When she gets...
Oh, come on, I'm not even through the first verse. Just can't get clean. Okay, okay. Hey, Paula, you're feeling good? Feeling happy?
Well, no, but should I be?
That's that's the beautiful chemistry we have, that we set this up
this
so perfectly.
This is the whole thing. There are a bunch of things making me sad right now.
Like what?
We're facing a pandemic. We're not supposed to shake hands or hug.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Warren is not in the race anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should use bamboo toilet paper.
Yeah.
I'll never have a plum. Am I sad or am I depressed?
I have the same question because I have many reasons to be sad. But am I depressed? I ask myself the same thing, and we have someone here who can answer it.
Thank goodness.
Mark Weiss is a marriage and family therapist. He provides therapy for relationships, anxiety, depression, and more in Pasadena, Toluca Lake, and nearby neighborhoods. Please welcome back to our show, Mark Weiss. Thank you.
Woo-hoo!
Interesting factoid. French horn is not usually used by motivational speakers. So if you were feeling a little sad.
Yeah. Boy, that'll shove you right over the edge.
Yeah. So how are you, Mark?
I'm good. Thank you.
Now, when you were on last time, we were talking about anxiety.
Correct.
Now, let's go to what I perceive as the other end of the spectrum, although I guess they can be very closely related, depression.
They're kind of the other end of the spectrum, but a lot of people suffer from both at once.
Sure.
So
I know I do.
Because once you get started, why not?
Right.
Now, Mark, some historians now claim that Lincoln was depressed. But to me, his kid died while he was president. And of course, the country was engaged in the Civil War. These are not happy things. If he had not seemed unhappy, I think we would think that he was unhinged. Would we not? So would you call that depressed or appropriately responding?
Well, it is appropriate to respond to that with sadness, with depression. My understanding is that Lincoln had incidents before that suggested that he had lifelong depression.
But he had a bunch of bad breaks along the way.
Yes, he did.
If I woke up with acromegaly one day, I'd be upset.
What?
The distended bone condition that gave Lincoln his distinctive look.
Oh, I didn't realize he had acromegaly.
Is that how it's pronounced?
I don't know.
All right. Party of one here. Let's continue, Paula.
All right. So anyways, I just use that to illustrate the point. Is there a difference between being depressed and being sad?
Yeah, absolutely. Sadness is sadness. Is you're unhappy about something.
Mm-hmm.
Depression, clinically, is a whole set of symptoms that go along with sadness being one of the symptoms.
What are the other symptoms that wouldn't be part of somebody just being sad?
Well, when a client comes into my office and I need to sort of assess them, I'll ask them things like, are you hopeless? Are you sleeping well? Because if you're not sleeping well or you're sleeping too much, that's a sign.
Uh-huh.
Are you eating well? Either have you started eating a lot or not enough? Do you feel like you don't really like any of the things that you usually like? You don't really want to do anything? You don't have any energy? There's a whole collection of things like that.
Right.
That suggest more than just, I'm sad because, you know, the Dodgers lost last night.
Okay. Well, that's actually very interesting because I just went just now from thinking that I'm depressed to just sad about stuff.
All right. No, wait. Say if somebody I loved just died, right?
I'm sorry, Paula.
I said if. And I felt sad about that.
Yes.
Right? Would that automatically make me depressed? Or again, could I just be appropriately sad?
Yes.
And while I was feeling appropriately sad, I may find myself not sleeping that well, feeling like I don't feel like doing the things that I usually enjoy because I'm grieving. Would that?
That's a great question. Is grieving a form of depression or is it just sadness?
Grieving is grieving, which is it's a kind of sadness. To answer your question, Paula, if you were my client, I would monitor you.
You would monitor me?
In that I would.
You would put like on the side of where I sleep a little speaker?
If that was appropriate, sure.
You mean we're doing for our infants in the production chamber over there?
Right. What kind of moderators
are you, by the way?
I would pay attention to whether those symptoms persisted or not.
Oh. I see. Uh-huh.
yeah, you might, if somebody passed away, you would be natural to feel sad, and that would lead to, I don't want to eat today, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If it persisted for more than a few days, a few weeks, then I would get concerned that you were entering into depression.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say to all the people that I love, don't count on me not eating after you die.
Yeah, I don't know why they'd be counting on that.
I just don't think that's how it's going to manifest itself.
You know, if I picture myself, if I go before you, Paula, I do not picture you fasting in any way.
No. I will. I'm more likely to binge on double stuffed Oreos in your fond memory.
I actually find that very comforting.
Yeah. No, I want you to know I'm there for you.
Now, is there are there biochemical markers of depression? Like, is it a clinical, like, I can medically diagnose you as depressed kind of thing?
That's a complicated question. Yes, you can diagnose somebody as depressed. Medications work chemically.
Sure.
So they have an effect. There is a chemical component. There's a physiological component. Mostly, though, the way that we look at it is some people have a propensity towards depression. They have a vulnerability, just like with anxiety. Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. if they have that propensity, then certain things can push them into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they don't, some people are more resilient, less prone to it, and things that would drive somebody over the edge don't bother them.
Huh. Interesting.
So there's people that just, you know, stuff happens and it's just water under the bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, well, didn't want that dog anyways.
Sure.
Yeah.
Had a good life. Moving on.
Yeah. Don't have to buy a kibble this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No more writing to grandma. Now, are there behaviors? Well, there's two sides to this question. Are there behaviors that exacerbate depression, that make it worse? So if you have a friend or yourself who is depressed or you think is depressed and they're doing a behavior, you want to go, hey, don't do that anymore.
Can you tell somebody to stop doing something or start doing something to make themselves better?
Yes. The challenge with depression is that all the things you need to do to feel better are all the things that depression makes you not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So the way to get out of depression is, aside from sort of trying to change the way that you think about the situation you're in, mm-hmm. is get up and do things, exercise, try and get good sleep, eat right. All the things that depression makes you not want to do,
right.
you need to be doing.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the reasons why sometimes depression can be very difficult to get out of.
Yeah. Right.
Because my clients will come in and they'll say, I slept 12 hours yesterday. I couldn't get out of bed. It's, well, you need to get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You need to
uh-huh.
do something. Well, yeah. I don't want to. I understand yeah. that. So just.
But they made it to your office.
Do you
ever point
true.
That out to them?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You're right.
Say,
you're absolutely
well,
right.
Clearly you can do something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And often, in fact, it comes down to, okay, I know you can't go to work today, but can you get yourself out of bed and make breakfast? Can you get yourself into the shower? Can you go for a walk? Can you do
yeah.
something?
That would be right. easy in Paula's case because her breakfasts are so easy to make.
Yeah. I don't have a challenging
It's breakfast. Like raisin toast,
yeah.
right?
But I know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I know that feeling
sure.
of, I don't want to do. So I do get that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people who have depression to feel like we're making fun of that idea because we're not.
No.
Like at one point I was on an antidepressant, which by the way made me gain weight. Well, nothing depresses me more than gaining weight. And so is every solution chemical like that?
No. For some people, chemical solutions, medical pills are useful.
Yeah.
They're not required for a lot of people. There's cognitive behavioral therapy is sort of the standard that people use.
I went to a cognitive behavioral therapist once for OCD.
Yeah.
And he would say, when I would come into his office, he would say, okay, we're going to make a list of what we're going to go over.
No.
Yeah. And one of my problems is I can't fucking stop making lists. He was an enabler. Okay, what's the first thing I'm going to do? Write you a check, asshole.
But cognitive behavioral therapy is exactly what you were just talking about, right? Just telling people.
What does it mean?
Get
what
yourself
is that?
Out of bed and make yourself breakfast.
But well, that's not therapy.
That's
advice.
It's just more tools that you can use. It's cognitive behavioral therapy. The idea is that there's a connection between what you think, what you feel, and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is if you change any one of those things, the other two also change.
Oh.
So usually what that means is you have an idea in your head that's in some way distorted or not reflecting reality. Uh-huh. So if we can change that idea, mm-hmm. it'll change the way you feel, and you'll be able to function again.
Wow.
That's the idea. Like I hate my job because I think everybody at work hates me, let's just say.
Okay. You're just saying.
And you work alone.
That's not you talking, right? Yeah. Because,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't like to go to work because I think everybody hates me.
Yeah.
So
the underlying. Who else is in your office?
Look, let's take a
look. I actually like my work.
Let's take a moment and just let Mark kind of get this off his chest, okay? Paul, instead of judging him, let's talk about everybody at work.
Who is it in your office that hates you? I'm so glad you brought this up.
We can help, Mark. We're here.
You know what? Will you push that Kleenex box towards him? I'm so glad you brought this up.
Mark,
how long have you been feeling this way? That everyone in your office hates you,
Tell me more is the line.
Is that what you say? Tell me more?
Sometimes, yes.
You say that? Sometimes. So someone says, like, you know, I hate my husband.
Tell me more.
He's abusive. And you go, tell me more. What? That's just weird.
Well, I got to say that if you're giving therapy to Paula Poundstone, if this ever happens, your recipe for disaster are the three words, tell me more. Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Yeah, usually. I've been in, non-therapy for years, but I was for many, many years with many, many people.
Yes.
Sybil didn't see as many therapists as I saw. And none
of them are still in the profession.
Yeah. Certainly none of them ever uttered the words, tell me more. Generally, like as soon as I came through the door, they'd go, bop, 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 bop. They would just hand me the Kleenex, and now we'd begin. All right, sorry, I interrupted.
It's okay.
Okay, so who else is in your office?
No. Let's move on to another question. He clearly is not comfortable talking about the people in his office.
You're not comfortable talking about the people in your office?
Maybe the next time he's on our show and we interview him, we can get to the
root
of that.
Well, I think I would like to interview the other people in his office.
Well, let's do that. Hey, Bonnie. No, Tony. Tony Niederhall. See if you can book the other people from Mark's office and see if we can.
Okay, so if someone felt that they didn't like their job because they felt that the other people in their office hated them.
Right. What we would do is we would reality test that idea.
Uh-huh.
Is it really true?
You would just call up the other people in the office?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
But we would get them to think about.
You go, hey, Jim, this is Mark. I'm Bob's therapist. I'm just wondering, what is it you hate about Bob? You really think that's the way to handle
no,
this, Mark?
No, he doesn't
it
think
seems
that.
A little cruel.
That's probably not what I would do, no.
Yeah, Jim. Jim, it's me, Mark, again. He just did that thing you hate. I fucking hate it too, man.
Really,
wow, this is just almost mean. Okay.
So I get that. So you have them really think it through, and it turns out that maybe they think people hate them when they don't,
correct?
Right?
But
that's
how
correct.
Would you know?
What if
would
the, well, that's, that was
how
kind
would
of my
you
next
know
question.
If the people hated them?
What
or
if
not?
It turns out your patient that works in an office where everybody thinks he's a dick?
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole different set of problems. Then it becomes okay. Why
you're
are you behaving
depressed.
Like this?
You're not depressed. You're a dick. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Ka-ching.
You should write a book by that title.
Yes.
You're not depressed. Yeah. You're not depressed. You are a dick. Okay, wait. We've really taken you off topic. Let me just say, Adam has really taken you off topic.
Yeah, I feel bad about that.
He's a guy at my work that really I have a hard time getting on with. All right, so if someone had those feelings, you would reality check it.
Would reality check it, help them to see whether it was true, and presumably it's not true, and then we would give them an alternative way of understanding the situation. Oh, it's not that people don't like me. It's that I'm quiet and shy and they don't come up to me. So I need to be more outgoing and talk to them. Something like that.
Yeah. Right.
So if you can get the patient to change the way they think,
mm-hmm.
they will feel better and they will start doing those things and their behavior will change. That's the
mm-hmm.
idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked to some extent.
It does work. It does. I actually don't use that very much because.
What do you use?
I talk to people. I let them talk about what's going on.
Uh-huh.
I comment some of that, but also more about helping them understand what's going on in their lives, why they're feeling the way they're feeling, what the different ways they could think is important, different ways they could feel.
So offering them different mental avenues of getting away from...
Basically, yes.
Mark, now, when you came in and sat down in the chair here...
Yes.
And we said, how are you?
And
you
we started the timer at that moment, by the way.
And you
so
said...
We are almost at the end of
it
our...
It looks like we need to schedule for next week, Mark. By the way, scheduling almost fucking kills me. So every time a therapist ever said that to me, right away, I was like,
"Huh!" It triggered you.
Yeah, because OCD, me and the calendar. Right.
Didn't they just set up a regular date for you?
I couldn't because of my schedule.
I see. Okay.
Because the people in my office hate me.
Tell me more.
So you sat down and we said, "How are you?" You said, "Good." You said, "Busy."
Yeah.
I'm assuming you mean that your
seeing
profession is busy. Do you notice that a lot of people, more than, say, a few years ago, are on sort of a depressive slide?
Are we anxious, depressed, and hopeless? More so?
I hope we're not hopeless, but yes, we're anxious and depressed.
Yeah.
And when there,
it's on the rise, right?
I do believe that, yes.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many clients come in worried about climate change, Trump, or now the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And they'll sit down and
talk about what do you do with that? Because these are very legitimate.
They are.
Things.
Well, one thing that I do is normalize that. Yeah, you're right. I understand that you're upset about that, that's worrisome.
Yeah.
And
so you take out like a globe and then you light a fire under it. And you say, this is what's happening.
You know what I would do? I would try this on your patients because this recently happened to me. What I would do is if your patients start telling you about what they're scared about, you should say, what's that thing on your neck? Have you had that checked out? And I'll tell you why, because very recently, somebody I care deeply about had a thing, and we thought that maybe it was, you know, something awful. And then it was tested, and everything's fine. And all of a sudden, Trump and climate change and even coronavirus didn't seem as bad to me because my friend was going to live. So what I say you do is tell people they have a lump.
Wow, that is...
That wasn't in the curriculum when I was
in training. Yeah, trust me.
It's going to be added on in the new edition of your psychology book.
It'll be your new book. What's that thing on your neck?
The lump chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suggest your patient has a lump chapter. So you let people talk about these things, and do you think that makes them feel better?
Well... Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
It helps to talk about it. It helps to share the fact that you're feeling worried, that you're feeling depressed. It also helps for people to know that they're not the only ones.
Yeah.
True. It's real, and it's not me being crazy or paranoid. This is a legitimate reaction to the world that I'm living in right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, William Gibson wrote, before you diagnose yourself with depression or low self-esteem, first make sure that you are not, in fact, just surrounding yourself with assholes. Stay tuned to find out more about depression and treatments. The Cat of the Week is Zeppelin from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're gonna get it anyway,
use our code.
And we're back, though apparently we're waiting.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I'm just almost done.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right. You're not singing a song anymore while you do that. You know what? As long as you're doing that, let me do that.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah.
Mark, you want to wash your hands? Are you all right? There we go. Okay, so... Now, everybody touch your face! No.
Now's the time.
We're back with Mark Weiss, therapist, talking about depression and its causes. Welcome back.
So what behaviors, because I asked you what behaviors can exacerbate depression, mm-hmm. What behaviors can alleviate it, non-medical?
The first thing I always tell everybody is get some exercise. Get up and get moving. Exercise is almost magical in what it does, if you can do it. If you can be steady with it.
Right.
But so you want to be
exercising. I noticed that you're very fit.
I wish I was.
No, you are. You look good. Like you're, do you work out?
Do I work out?
Yeah.
What do you bench?
I have no idea.
See, I ask people, what bench do you sit on? That's different.
I ask people, what do you bench? I've been hanging out with Mike Boom Boniface
too much. Then you don't work out?
Oh, I exercise, sure.
What do you mean
sure.
You exercise? Like a regular basis?
Now I feel like we're grilling him for no reason. But no,
yes, I ride. I have a bike I ride. I go for walks. Yes,
there you
I
go.
Exercise.
Yeah, I ride a bike too. Things. I love that. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. Mark, I have a question for you. Why does depression appear to kick in the teenage years? I mean, nobody ever mentioned the word depressed to me before I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm. There's increasing evidence that it does. It often kicks in earlier. It just looks different. Pre-teenagers tend to be irritable, aggressive.
Oh.
Teenagers are always irritable and aggressive.
Right, exactly.
Being a teenager.
Uh-huh. So pre-teenagers who would not normally be irritable and aggressive.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
You never met my son. And there are other factors now, of course, too, because there is electronics addiction, which people didn't see those symptoms come. They didn't recognize those symptoms for what they were for the longest time, which is addiction.
Right. There is a lot of controversy over the connection between screens and behavior, whether overuse of screens is a result of being depressed or a cause of being depressed.
And where do you fall on that?
I think it depends.
Okay.
I think, you know, a lot of this stuff is not, we like to pretend it's science, but it's really art. I mean, it's everything's mm-hmm. different. I mean, some people react differently to different things. And human beings are so complicated that it's very difficult to just say definitively.
You're doing this because of this.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So is there then a relationship between circumstantial, meaning, you know, my dog died, my mother died, mm-hmm. my friend died, mm-hmm. Or, you know, I didn't make the team or I didn't get the job, or mm-hmm. between these sort of circumstantial things that one might respond to unhappily mm-hmm. and depression?
Sure. Sure. Some people are prone to being depressed. Mm-hmm. They have a history of major depression or dysthymia or other.
What's dysthymia?
Dysthymia is sort
of was a character in the Little Rascals.
No, that was not.
Dysthymia.
Really? What was dysthymia's character?
Oh, no, it was stymie.
There you go. Oh, see, it's just different.
So dysthymia is...
We weren't talking about stymie. We were talking about gloomy gusses.
So what is dysthymia?
Dysthymia is a steady, sort of a pervasive sort of feeling of sadness and not...
You used to call that melancholia?
Probably, yeah.
Someone did.
It's not a full-blown major depression, uh-huh. but you don't feel normal, whatever normal is.
Uh-huh.
So,
what do you mean, whatever normal is? Normal is for that person.
Right.
Well, unless you were just always unhappy, and so that's perfectly normal.
I guess, but they don't feel normal because they're not happy with being unhappy. Right.
Uh-huh. You feel like people should be happy with their unhappiness.
Well, some of the whiners aren't.
You'd be such a good therapist, Paula.
Oh, I think I would be.
Yeah.
You know what? When you were studying, when you read about different disorders and things, did you keep finding that you had them?
I fortunately didn't find that I had them, but I definitely worried about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's, I know. That's when people study medicine, right. They have the same thing, which right. is like, oh, my right. God, I think I have that.
Right. Oh, I was once whatever it is. That must mean that I have... melancholia.
Right. But you'd been through the ring. I mean, I think we talked about it when on last show that, like, you came to therapy after finding a good therapist yourself,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yes. So yeah, I have personal experience with,
right.
fortunately, not with depression, but with anxiety. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for you, there wasn't anxiety and depression. It was just anxiety?
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much.
So you didn't get to go to all the meetings?
You just
met with the anxiety people?
Yes.
Whereas...
they wouldn't let me in.
No, the anxiety and depression people, they get more points on their card, mm-hmm. and they get a free session.
Yes.
I got to say, if you're going through your second show with Paula Poundstone and you're like this, your anxiety is licked, my friend.
Well, this has really been helpful. Thank you very much. Wait, tell me one more thing. What are the other things? You mentioned exercise and getting out of bed. Was there anything else that you recommend?
Exercise, trying to keep your diet in check.
You just watched me eat 3 Heath bars.
Meaning either eat enough or try not to eat too much.
Uh-huh.
I think socializing is really important. A lot of people who are depressed tend to isolate themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I think making a point of being with the people that you care about and that care about you mm-hmm. makes a big difference too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I find, you know, for me, when I was, and who knows, was it mostly circumstantial? Was it, I don't know. There was certainly yeah. probably a combination of
yeah.
both things.
Yeah.
But I happen to have the greatest job in the entire world. Mm. And so when I would get to go be on stage, a group of people that have come out to laugh for mm-hmm. the night. But one of the things that was joyous about that was, I mean, I could tell some story about something I was really struggling with, and then other people laugh, and you get two things from that. You get the happy chemicals from the laughter,
sure.
and you also get, I'm not the only one who has
right.
that.
Right.
I always
right.
call it the recognition laugh, and
right.
boy, that is a great
right.
thing.
So would you recommend stand-up comedy for your patients who suffer from depression?
Giving it or
doing
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of them would not do well with that.
I don't think not. I think your cure is kind of unique, Poundstone. All right. Well, thank you, Mark Weiss, for offering us all a counseling session on depression and what to do about it. And now we're going to take the information that you gave us and we're going to run it through the old Poundstonator. Paula?
Jacqueline Rainey, house band, if you could give me a little background music for my Pounce Donator. Look, you nobodies, I love you so much. I hate to think of any of you being sad or depressed. But if you are, please know that you are not alone. Now, there is a difference between sad and depressed. Sadness is a reaction. Depression won't let go. If you cry when you see Old Yeller, you're sad. If you can't get out of bed for weeks after seeing Old Yeller and persist in answering a friendly inquiry of how are you with, Mama, Old Yeller saved your life, and he saved my life, and he saved Hollis's life. We can't just shoot him like he was nothing. Then you may have moved into a full-blown depression. We've got some serious trouble in front of us, and everyone is important in the fight. Talk to one another. Give and seek kindness. Regulate your sleep. Eat some healthy foods. Drink a lot of water. Mark didn't mention that. I'm throwing that part in. Find a depressed workout partner and make each other commit to a depressed workout. One depressed push-up. Two depressed push-ups. Three depressed push-ups. Challenge each other to run in place. My life is going nowhere. My life is going nowhere. My life is going nowhere.
He is a marriage and family therapist who provides therapy for relationships, anxiety, depression, and more. Thank you for being on our show, Mark Wise!
Thank you, Mark!
Coming up, Tony Anita Hull reaches out to India. Beloved subcontinent, tune in to us! That's coming up right after this. According to climate scientists, we have 9 years and 41 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin Alhassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back. Paula.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, okay.
Scrubbing up a little bit.
Okay, you're... Look, yeah. I'm as hygiene conscious as you are, but your hands are starting to look a little red.
Adam, answer the phone.
What?
Answer the phone.
All right, I guess your hands are busy. Hello?
Hello? I am seeking to find Mr. Adam Felber.
Who is this?
Mr. Adam Felber, this is Herschel Bernardi Jr.
Oh, Herschel Bernardi Jr., the benefactor of Winnie Feynman, a frequent caller to this show.
Mr. Adam Felber, as a legal representative of Ms. Winnie Rose Feynman, I am duly authorized to inform you that you are court ordered to begin rehearsals of A.R. Gurney's Love Letters.
A.R. Gurney's Love Letters, which is going to be playing at the Herschel Bernardi Theater.
In preparation for your performance, to fulfill your contractual obligations to the Herschel Bernardi Community Theater in Huntington, New York. In these great United States.
Mr. Bernardi, first of all, bring it on. Is what I can say. Well, first of all, you're the 44th caller. Thank you for calling. Nobody listens to Paul Poundstone. But second of all...
I don't want to hang out with you after the game.
Well, that's okay, because nobody's going to. But bring it on. I don't believe you're going to send documents. I'm not sure you're not Winnie Feynman herself right now. I mean...
I am not Winnie Mr. Adam Felber.
Yes.
I am Winnie Feynman's authorized representative.
Well, look, Mr. Bernardi, I never agreed
to
do...
I am duly authorized to inform you that
inform
you are
again.
Court ordered To begin rehearsals of A.R. Goiney's love letters, what aren't you getting, Mr. Adam Felber?
Mr. Bernardi,
the formal document shall be delivered
you
by the U.S. Postal Service forthwith. This is a legal call. I will be hanging up now. Goodbye, Mr. Adam Felber.
Wow, Mr. Bernardi? Mr. Bernardi? Well, that's a little weird, Paula, huh?
I guess it was just an official call.
Yeah, I don't know that one does that before one serves papers, but,
Well, Mr. Herschel Bernardi did. That's Herschel Bernardi Jr., by the way.
I know. We went over that last week.
He has no interest in the 100th caller. Answer the phone, Adam. Answer the phone.
Okay, then. Hello.
Hello. This is Gladdy Pilgrim.
Hi, Gladdy. How are you?
Am I the 100th caller?
You're not. You're number 45.
Well, that is strange because God told me to call right now. He dialed the area code for me.
He did?
I guess he had another plan.
How did he
God has so many plans, Adam Felber. I was unemployed, and President Donald J. Trump, God's chosen one, GKO, Gicko, we call him.
Gicko.
Selected me to be his next Supreme Court person.
Well, Lanny.
Try to tell me. No. Gladdy.
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 Lanny.
Not Lanny?
No,
let
I'm
me point
Gladdy.
Out.
My name is Gladdy Pilgrim, and I have been selected
right.
by the President of the United States
sure.
to be his Supreme Court nominee.
Right, but you...
Tell me that's not the good Lord at work. Go ahead. Try and tell me that. See if you can.
That's not the good Lord at work.
See, I don't believe you.
Okay, well, then I guess I was wrong.
But listen, Gladdy. Yes.
Gladdy, you started this off by saying you were unemployed.
I had been unemployed.
Well, let me point out to you that technically, you are still unemployed.
But not for long, Adam Felber.
Well,
many
we don't
of those
know that.
People on the court are quite elderly.
Yes, but
and
they.
There's a virus coming through.
So you're saying that the coronavirus is the Lord's work?
It is. It is the Lord's work.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. The Lord has so many plans, Adam Felber, that we can't always understand. I'm so excited to join the Supreme Court, both to take away a woman's right to choose.
Wait, what?
But also to be a part of this historic body that will insist that any woman telling her doctor or indicating to her doctor that she does not want a pregnancy, that doctor will gather his staff and hold a prayer vigil over the woman. Uterus.
I'm almost certain.
In my Supreme Court, a uterus will be an ouerturus.
An ouerturus? Oh, I see. A uterus.
It does not belong to you. It belongs to all of us. An ouerturus.
Well, that shouldn't that be an? Shouldn't that be a usterus?
It could
or
be.
A weederus?
It's up to the Lord.
I think weederus and usterus makes a lot more sense than. Well, why are we even hypothetically? That's not going to happen.
It is.
Gladdy.
It is.
It isn't.
God chose President Donald J. Trump, and President Donald J. Trump chose me, Gladdy Pilgrim.
Okay.
I'm sorry I'm not the 100th caller, because I would like to hang out with you after the game. I would love also to have a shiny new refrigerator from Roger Federer's appliance store.
Not Roger Federer's
appliance store. To chill my Kool-Aid.
To what?
Chill my Kool-Aid.
Do you like Tang, Lanny? Gladdy.
It's Gladdy Pilgrim.
Gladdy Pilgrim.
Gladdy Pilgrim.
Gladdy Pilgrim.
You seem to have a hard time with names, Mr. Adam Felber.
Not always. But
well, do you think it's just the excitement of talking to a Supreme Court nominee that was chosen by the man who was chosen by God? I can see where that would be intimidating. I have been to the Oval Office. I've been a part of the prayer
circle. Oh, that's right. You told me you're part of that creepy prayer circle.
By Paula White.
The hands on a soft body thing.
That's exactly right. I'm looking forward to putting my hands on Supreme Court Justice Roberts.
Oh, in what way?
Well, during our prayer.
Oh.
We'll pray over him.
I see. And where do you, what part of his body do you hope to get?
Well, you know, I have been praying on President Trump's elbow, and
right.
so that is my area of expertise.
Okay. Now, Gladdy, I
want
to ask you a real personal question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Adam
Can
Felber.
We stop talking now?
Well, yes. I tell you what. I tell you what. I'll call you back,
okay.
And I hope to be the 100th caller, but it's up to God.
It sure is. All right. Gladdy Hardcastle, everybody.
Pilgrim. Gladys Pilgrim.
Oh, she's back to correct
me. Well, I hadn't yet hung up because I knew you had a problem with names.
Okay, Gladys Pilgrim,
everybody. And so I hesitated on the line, and you didn't know I was there, right. But I was there.
Right.
I was praying over you for just a second before I hung up.
Oh, that's...
I said, Lord, help him with names, and apparently I didn't get to him in time.
I guess not. Thank you, Gladys. All right, Paula.
Certainly, Adam. Certainly, Adam Filmer. See, I waited on the line again.
Click! Oh, my God, it worked. I went click, and there she went. All right, now, Paula, you back?
Yeah.
All right, you missed a great phone call.
Oh,
you
know, gosh, she is excited about being the caller.
Yeah, she is. In previous shows, we bragged about our growing listenership in places like Poland and, of course, the United Arab Emirates. You're familiar with that.
Yes, and Moldova. My gosh. Well, we thought we were big in Moldova.
Right.
Because why do we think it?
We showed up on their top charts.
Yeah. And then it turned out they only had like three
downloads.
Yeah,
something like that.
To podcasts around the whole country.
Yeah. So we look good compared to nobody.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, but now let's turn
It was quite a high there for a while, though.
Oh, man. You know, for those of you who are just starting now on episode 88 or whatever this is, we actually tasted the staple food of Moldova.
Fruit Loops.
No, it was Mamaliga.
Oh, right. But we compared it to Fruit Loops.
We did.
Yeah. And
for reasons that are still not clear to me.
The handful of Moldovans that do listen to the show
not even a handful.
Switched over from eating
Mamaliga
to eating Fruit Loops.
Yeah, that's almost certainly not true.
You remember that that movie that started out as a play that before that was an ABBA song?
Mamma Mia.
Mamaliga.
Yeah. Na-na-na-na-na. Well, I'm glad we relived that musical memory. You just wash your hands.
Wash
there.
My hands.
I'll give you time to finish this intro.
That could be a good song for hand wash.
If you've heard some melodious giggling in the background during this entire segment, it's because we've got right here Tony Anita Hull, our producer and our internationalist. What we're gonna do is get proactive about this. Rather than talking about a country where we have downloads, we're gonna pitch ourselves to that country.
Oh, that's a good idea, right there.
So we're gonna turn our sight to a place where there is a huge audience just waiting for us. Tony Anita Hull, welcome.
Thank you.
And give us your pitch.
So namaste, India. Namaste. Oh!
Wait, namaste?
Namaste. It's one of the fine forms of traditional greetings mentioned in the ancient Hindu scriptures.
Okay.
It translates to I bow to you.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And when greeting one another with it, okay.
it's just something that Brentwood yoga people said.
Well, they're getting it from somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know where they were getting, but they're getting it from India.
Absolutely. Because when you say it as a way of greeting someone, it means may our minds meet.
Oh.
May our minds meet.
Yeah. May our minds meet. So namaste, India.
Not usually something that you think about when you're, stretching on a mat.
Yeah.
No. So now I think
it means may our minds meet in a dark corner and then we fuck like bunnies.
See, that's probably not what namaste means, but
yeah, that's what namaste means.
Really?
Yeah. No, actually,
Tony, is that true? You've been researching India. Does namaste mean our minds meet in a dark corner where they fuck like bunnies?
Yeah, no, it's actually namaste hop hop.
Oh, namaste hop hop.
Namaste hop hop.
Well, why didn't you spell it out? It's a completely different greeting, Paula.
That was my mistake.
That's a very different.
Tony, namaste. Do they?
Now, Paula, you just produced out of nowhere some what appear to be finger symbols.
I have finger symbols because I'm sucking up to India.
Is that what you decided to do?
Namaste, India. May our minds meet.
Lovely.
Okay. On Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
All right, that's
the podcast.
That's a culturally sensitive greeting. Probably more so than the hop hop thing.
On the right track. So now, the great thing is this is the perfect week for us to woo India.
Why?
Because before you eat there, you must thoroughly wash your hands with soap and water.
Before you eat?
Before you eat in India.
We were supposed to do that here, too, by the way. But maybe we let that ball drop for a while.
But it's been a thing for a long time in India.
Yeah, it's because they eat with their hands.
They do?
Yeah.
No forks.
Exactly, no forks. And actually, it's a widespread practice in South and East India, but it's a bit rare in North and West India.
What's rare?
So
the hand washing or
hands.
Eating with your hands?
No,
eating with their hands. Yeah. In North and West India, they don't eat with their hands?
No, they're controlled by Big Fork up there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Big Silver.
Exactly.
So what if there was a table, north, west, east, south Indians all at the same table. So two of them would just grab the food off the plate and shove it in their mouth with their well-washed hands.
There's always a question.
And the people with, like, just grubby dirt all over their hands would grab their forks and put that in their... Am I correct?
I think in almost any scenario where people from various places in India are eating together, they... Yes, that's good. Yeah, you could play that, Paula. I'd imagine that they kind of, you know, all agree on some sort of standard, like we do here in the United mm-hmm. States of America.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So they would just come together and...
Yeah. Hey, we're washing our hands tonight.
All right. On the soup, hands. We're going to use a spoon. But everything
we
else...
Right.
Have at it.
It's quite possible. All right. What else can you tell us about our new friends?
Yeah.
So fasting is an integral part of Hindu culture.
Okay.
And because it's a way to represent one's sincerity and resolve.
Oh.
Sincerity and resolve about what?
I don't.
Whatever you
in
want.
General to be.
Just in general.
I mean, famously, Gandhi went on a hunger strike.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, we knew he meant that.
We could go on a hunger strike till we get to number one in India.
We're totally not going to do that.
I will.
What? You won't.
I will.
You will be reaching for a potato chip within 20 seconds.
No.
Before
no.
the end
you
of
know
this.
You know what?
You're going on a hunger strike until India gets heavily invested in us?
Indian people, first of all, welcome. Until we are number one with a bullet on your charts, I am not going to eat. Today is day one.
That's so not going to happen. You're going to be eating faster than you can say namaste hop hop.
I'm not.
What are you eating right now? What's in your mouth right now?
Did you
put a potato chip in
there? I'm cleansing my palate. That's not the same thing as eating.
Yes. Are you going to swallow it? Spit it out. Spit it out. No, you swallowed it. Okay. Well,
I ate that potato chip with a fork because I was trying to appeal
to Northern Indians.
To Northern Indians. That's right. Exactly right.
Go okay. on, Tony.
Right, what else do you have?
It's going so well already.
What other
really
way
well.
Can we?
We're really winning them over. I can feel it.
Yeah, okay.
And
that's good. We're really on good footing with India right now.
See, we're yeah. because it's also the largest vegetarian friendly country in the world.
Vegetarian friendly.
Yep, because 20 to 40% of all Indians are vegetarians.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
So there's more salad bars there than here.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're washing their hands before they go.
Yeah, they're washing their hands, and they're not eating meat.
That doesn't mean they don't need the sneeze guard.
Vegetables are scared shit of them.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of vegetables in Indian cooking. I do some Indian cooking.
Yeah.
It's true.
You mentioned that.
I can make a nice curry with a homemade raita with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sucking up to Indian. You're not even helping.
I'm not going to eat it.
Okay.
I'm not going to eat that food. You know why?
Why?
I am not eating until we are number one with a bullet in India.
What's that? There's a Twix wrapper right next to you.
That was earlier. I ate that earlier.
Really? I didn't see that wrapper there before.
I'm not eating.
Okay.
I'm not eating.
All right. Go on, Tony. What else do you have to tell us about the subcontinent?
Freddie Mercury is of Indian descent.
It's true.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you not see that movie?
No, I didn't see that movie.
Oh, it's a pretty good movie. His parents had moved to England, but they're clearly Indian.
Huh. No, well, I had no idea. Wow. Boy, his music doesn't say India to me.
Do you want me to play some?
Would you?
Oh, do you have Indian music with you?
Well, I brought both Freddie Mercury and the National Anthem of India.
So are we going to compare them?
Sure. Here, we'll start with Queen.
Tonight, oh, okay. I'm going to have myself a real good time. I feel alive. Okay, so we're listening to Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. I think it's off the album Jazz. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. Turn it down a little bit, Tony. Is this the best way to honor our new Indian friends? Because if I'm not mistaken, Freddie was born in London, wasn't he? This music has almost nothing to do with traditional Indian culture.
It picks up, though, here.
Oh, it does.
No, okay, I'm not denying that it picks up.
No,
it's a
right
great
here,
single.
He says, I put a rice cake in her mouth, and she put a rice cake in my mouth.
He
didn't
doesn't?
Hear that?
Yeah, he doesn't? I'm not even sure that rice cakes are a thing in India.
That was.
Oh, what?
That was part of Gandhi's wedding ceremony.
Really?
Yeah.
The traditional putting of rice cakes in each other's mouths?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I wasn't there, but I saw it in the movie.
Let's skip ahead to actual Indian music.
I think I read that somewhere. Paula.
You did not, Tony.
No, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I put a rice cake in her mouth.
This is the national anthem.
And she put a rice cake in my mouth.
Okay, this is a national anthem.
Jana Gana Mana.
Oh, this is Jana Gana Mana? I fucking love Jana Gana Mana.
This is definitely an easy listening version of their national anthem. This isn't the one that they play at the Olympics. That's Paula Poundstone on the finger symbols. hold on a second. Tony, you need a hold. Just stop that.
Is that the national anthem?
That's not their national anthem.
No, that was Jana Mana Gana.
It can't be. I mean.
Maybe it's a different version.
No,
it's
got to
be a different version. Because that sounds like the kind of song that you'd sing when you're on, you know, the love sequence from a Disney film.
No, a lot
Can
of times.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Whole new world. When Indian babies are left in their crib after their nap for a little while, and then the mother goes in to get the baby out.
Sure.
And it reaches out its hands. It'll often say, I want a Jana Mana Kana.
Jana Mana Gana?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want a Jana Mana Kana.
Now, what was it?
Jana Mana what?
Jana Mana Kana.
Jana Mana Kana.
Go on, Tony. Give us more dubiously true factoids about India, because we're doing so well already in terms of our sucking up to that.
Now, Tony, keep in mind you could be replaced by Bonnie Burns like that.
Oh, please! Remember,
the listeners would prefer.
Tony's planning on going on a cruise in December because that's a good idea.
Oh my God!
And
have to live in that incubator with Land and Jessica.
We'll never let her come in here again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm using my Royal Caribbean pen.
Oh my God!
Jesus, clean that thing! I'm gonna wash my hands.
It's the plague pen.
Jesus, she has a Royal Caribbean pen.
Wash your hands, Paula.
Just spray that. All right. Everybody get a hazmat suit or something.
We don't need a hazmat suit. It's just
surround
a pen.
That pen. Anyways, okay, and Tony, is there more India information? Because I'm fasting. I'm fasting for India.
Wait, is that a half of a sandwich?
No, I ate that earlier.
No, there was more of it there. That's like an avocado sandwich.
That's not true. I dropped some of it on the floor.
I don't see anything on the floor.
Tony's Royal Caribbean pen touched it, and I stopped eating it.
Is that what happened? Because it looks like you have something on your lip. It looks like mayonnaise or something.
No, that's...
Spread of some kind.
No, that's hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer?
Yeah.
Creamy hand sanitizer?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Tony Anita Hull, thank you so much for coming by.
This was so educational. I think we've got India's number now. And we're going to...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to
I think the one Indian listener we have is going to say, hey, you should listen to these guys because they really understand our culture and our traditions.
And there's a lot of people there.
There are a lot, it's heavily populated.
It's a very populated area.
Heavily populated.
And I'm sure there's at least three of them we haven't insulted so far. So we're doing great. All right. Now, if you want to reach out to us about anything, email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. And
wait a minute.
What?
Hello, Adam Bellman.
Oh, look at this.
French Trump.
Okay, welcome, French Trump, everybody.
It is so good. You know, people say that I do not have a plan for the virus, but I do have a plan. We put all the infected people on a cruise ship and shove them off our shore. That is my plan. My numbers droop and they have a buffet. It is win-win.
Win-win?
It is a win-win. Matt Gaetz, that birthday party clown, that myrmidon, is a wet wiping all of Air Force One.
Oh, yes, that's right, because Congressman Matt Gaetz famously, a couple weeks back, got on Air Force One with you shortly after having come in contact with that coronavirus patient from CPAC.
He is a German-fested clown. I tell him, do not touch me, you German-fested cartoon character.
Now, are
Matt
you saying
Gaetz?
Matt Gaetz is not German?
No, I didn't say he was German.
You said he's a German-fested clown.
No, German-infested.
German-fested clown.
No, not German. Germ-infested.
German.
Oh, Adam Felber, there's no talking to you. You do not understand anglaise.
Anglaise?
You do not understand anglaise.
I speak English pretty well, French Trump.
Oh, well, Metcalf.
German-fested.
German.
You were saying German-fested.
Space infected.
Infected?
Germ, space, as in farce, inspected.
My God.
And now, infected. Now you've got me talking all crazy like you, Adam Feldberg.
I'm not really making you do that, Mr. French Trump. It's just...
People say I did not have a plan, but I do have a plan.
You do. What's your plan?
Don't touch me. That's the first part of my plan.
That's a good plan.
Don't touch me anymore. And then I'm going to consult with Ponce.
Ponce.
Ponce. I'm going to consult with Mike Ponce.
Mike Ponce, your vice president, who you put in charge of the coronavirus.
I put him in charge of the virus, that cardboard cutout. I put him in charge of the virus.
There are some people.
I'm hoping that the virus can be cured by staring at it lovingly.
Right, because he does that to you.
That's exactly what he does.
Right. I got to say, there are a lot of people who say that you put him in charge of it right away to kind of distance yourself from the crisis so that if it breaks badly, it's his fault, not yours.
We. Oui.
Oh, all right, then, moving on.
Lots of people are saying that.
Oh, yeah. But it's not true?
No, it is true.
Okay.
Don't tell anyone, Adam Feldberg.
I won't,
that is between you and me. I don't want you to be a whistleblower.
A whistleblower?
Do not be a whistleblower, Adam Feldberg. You are my confidant.
How can I be your confidant?
My confidant. I come here and I talk to you, you know, man to man.
Right.
Un to un. Un.
No. Do you one to one or man to man? What are you saying?
Un.
One to one.
Un.
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 Un means one.
That's right. That's what I'm saying to you.
You said man to man. Un to un. I get it. Okay.
I said two different things. I do not always say the same thing.
No. You frequently say the same thing.
I do not always say the same thing.
You just said the same thing three times in a row.
Because you don't understand me sometimes when I talk.
Okay.
I need a translator just to talk to you. You don't need a translator to talk to
me. Because
I'm very clear.
Claire?
Claire.
You're clear.
We.
All right, Mr. French Trump.
Yeah.
I just want to. What?
Yeah, what?
Oh, nothing. I was talking to French Trump.
Oh, he left.
He left. All right. And we'll be back in a moment with more Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone after this.
A detective came and knocked on the door. And I said, is it Renee? And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me then in my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Fun fact, one of the longest-lived pharaohs of Egypt used to cover his slaves in honey to keep bugs away from him. That was in 2200 BC during the reign of King Douchebag. And we're back.
Adam, answer the phone!
Really?
Yeah!
I had something else to do, but okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. That's okay. Hello.
Adam?
Oh, my God.
Adam?
Am
I the 100th caller?
You're the 46th caller. You must be Winnie Feynman, right? Nobody else calls and sobs quite the way you do.
It is me, Adam. Winnie Rose Felber.
Feynman. Did you just say Felber?
Did I? Oh, it was a mistake.
No, you definitely called yourself Winnie Rose Felber.
Well, that was just a mistake, Adam. I've turned our legal matters over to my lawyer, so you and I don't have to speak of such things.
Really?
I've tried to be tough with you, Adam, but I can't.
Okay.
I didn't even call you last week. Did you notice?
I did.
Instead, I channeled all my love and positive energy into making you this name tag that I would really like you to have.
What name tag?
This name tag. It's this... There's going to be tight security at the Herschel Bonnati Community Theater, and you'll need a name tag. This has your name and a reliable clasp and tiny roses made of sparkles all around the outside.
Oh, this is breaking my heart, Winnie.
Should I send it to you now?
No, don't send it to me.
Should I wait for the glue to dry?
Well, look, Winnie.
I want you to have it.
I don't want it, Winnie. I don't want it. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to be there. And it's been made even worse by the fact that you can't call me and offer me loving gifts and at the same time have your goons in the form of Herschel Bernardi suing me.
You know, he's not a goon. And, Adam, you have a contractual obligation.
I don't.
You do. And I want you to have this name tag. It's got a reliable clasp. That's the most important feature I would like you to understand. But it also does have
Winnie.
Beautiful roses all around the outside made with sparkles.
Winnie, I thank you for the effort, but
thank you.
But
that's the first thing you've ever thanked me for, Adam. I have to go now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Oh, okay.
I really appreciate it. I'll call later. I hope to be the 100th caller.
Oh,
bye.
Winnie, I hope you find a different thing to do with your life. Okay. Wow, Paula, that was something.
Boy, you know, a name tag with a reliable clasp is not something to turn your nose up at.
Paula, I have to turn my nose up at
so
this. This woman
often,
is
I'll tell you, I've had name tags that just fall off. The clasp is not reliable. Someone who loves you makes you a name tag with a reliable clasp. I say you...
That person loves me in a really disturbing way. And I feel like you should have my back on this. And sometimes I feel like you're taking Winnie Feynman's side.
No, I do have your back. By the way, what's your name? Oh, I guess I don't know because you don't have a name tag on right now.
Oh. Anyway, Paula, my name's Adam. We're going to move on to what I think of as our final little bit, a little treat. If you remember, we have been featuring Japanese Kit Kat bars on this program.
Oh, yes, we
because
have.
Because the website omgjapan.com sent us a giant box of differently flavored Kit Kats. They have 180 different flavors there in Japan.
It's like the Birdie Bots.
Yeah.
The flavors are... Beans. Some of it really doesn't even belong in your mouth. So yeah. That, like, you know.
Well, they told us when they sent us that and $1,000 that as long as we mentioned them, we were free to hate it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you've lived up to that part.
No, I think I've had one or two that were okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And hopefully this will be one of those occasions because not only are we doing a blind taste test like we did last week, mm-hmm. but we're doing a double blind taste test, whereas neither you nor I know what is about to be put in our mouths. And against my better judgment, because Tony Anita Hull has already done something on this show.
And she's quit. She's quitting a rage.
She's quitting a rage. We are bringing up to the microphone to run this taste test, I'm sure expertly, with what could possibly go wrong. She just has to hand us candy. Ladies and gentlemen, Captain Crinkle, Bonnie Burns, Paula's manager, our producer.
She doesn't hand out candy that well. We learned that.
Yeah, we learned that already. Let's welcome Bonnie Burns, everybody.
Not a crinkle in sight.
Not a crinkle in sight.
Here I am. Okay, I got this. This is going to be really simple and sweet.
Okay, you're just going to do this efficiently.
No, okay.
So you've got a Kit Kat bar there.
I got one Kit Kat bar. I'm going to split it in half, give you each half.
Did you wash your hands before you touched that Kit Kat
bar? I did. I Purelled.
Because your hands... you Purelled?
Yeah.
Bonnie, so you're handing us candy that has fucking hand sanitizer on it?
Okay, whatever.
You just wash your hands?
All right, whatever. So, okay, now you're going to taste it.
And
okay.
Then alcohol-y.
Give me your assessment.
All right, we're going to taste this green. This is a green Kit Kat.
Yeah.
And, wow. It's,
Boy, it's cleaning the inside of my mouth.
Yeah. I feel sanitized. You know, it's nothing special. It's not... There's an aftertaste that I don't like happening.
There is an aftertaste, yeah.
There's an almost fishy aftertaste.
Not noticing a fishy taste. I bet it's a tea of some sort of tea.
I would say you're probably right. I'd say it's a tea and squid Kit Kat.
Okay, you're right about the tea.
It's tea and tuna?
Tea and squid.
No, you're both wrong.
Okay, so Bonnie, okay, what are we...
Okay, wait. How about light chocolate, dark chocolate?
What?
It was
what?
Green.
It was green chocolate.
Green chocolate. I think you should have given it to us sooner.
I'm really hating this aftertaste.
Apparently that was dark chocolate, but after a while it gets green.
Okay, well, it was dark chocolate, not light chocolate.
That's what
okay,
I thought.
Good. Okay,
bittersweet or...
What the fuck are you doing? Your job is to give it to us. We taste it. You tell us what
it is. And now we're taking like a personality test.
just suddenly she's an ophthalmologist. Better this way or that way?
Yeah,
this way
no,
or that way?
I'm going to be recruited into Scientology or something here. What?
Okay.
What? Okay.
I just wanted to see how much you got.
You just
right.
wanted to draw out your time on the microphone, Burns.
All right. Here's what it was. Okay. Yeah, Dark matcha.
What was it?
Dark matcha.
Oh, it's dark matcha.
Yeah. Dark Japanese green tea, bittersweet matcha green powder tea flavor Kit Kat.
There we go.
Except that there's nothing about dark chocolate in there, Bonnie.
Dark, bittersweet.
That's dark matcha tea. You just had to read the description. There's no dark chocolate.
Oh, it was dark tea, not
it's dark matcha tea.
Okay, I got that wrong.
Okay.
It's the what? One thing you're doing. What part did you get right?
That could happen to anybody, really.
No, I was thinking chocolate.
Tony
sure, I know what you were thinking.
Dark, bittersweet.
You were thinking chocolate, and then you saw the word dark.
Okay, let's try another one.
Yeah.
Are we going to try another one?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. So a lot of times, as it gets nighttime, Bonnie looks up at the sky and says, it's getting chocolate out. It's so easy to mix those things up.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Yeah?
You guys pick between these two which one you'd rather do.
There's a
what
pink one and a white one.
Right.
We don't know what they are.
No,
that's
you
the whole
don't.
Point was we don't know what
Paula,
they are.
Which one do you
no,
want to do? The pink one
pick.
Or the pink
oh,
one?
Oh, I'll do the pink one.
Okay.
The pink
split, pink split one. It with Adam.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm splitting
okay,
the pink
Paula's
one with Adam.
Paula's getting one half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
You're getting the other one.
Okay, yeah.
This is
going to
be what it's like when we're rationed in a few weeks.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, this is a strawberry shortcake one, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
That's what it smells like.
It's not.
Wow.
Strawberry milkshake.
There's all kinds of stuff happening here. It's got kind of a strawberry taste or a bubblegum taste. Or.
Okay.
It's weird. It's definitely fruity, but kind of in a super artificial, which I don't know is the flavoring or the Purell.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
No, it's peppermint.
Wow. I apologize, Bonnie.
It's peppermint.
There's no mint in here, is there?
Yeah. Okay, here's... All right,
it's
I have it.
Berry
I have
it's
it.
It's cherry or something. Cherry blossom.
No, I have it. I know exactly what it is.
What is it?
Okay. Mm. It's made from familiar. A strawberry shake that was stirred with a peppermint stick.
Ooh.
By a little dark chocolate man.
Little dark chocolate man.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what is it?
That's not it, but the flavor, there's something really familiar. Like, is it cherry? Is it pomegranate? There's something weird going
no,
on
No, it's not
here.
Pomegranate.
Okay, is it good?
Is it what?
Good?
Is it well seasoned?
No, well, I mean, you know, like we've had a few. Is this one good?
I would say this one's not good. It's not terrible. I could see somebody liking this if they like the berry pomegranate dark chocolate man stirring a strawberry shake vibe.
If I were having a kid's party, I would give them that.
Okay. It's from the Fook.
Not kids that I like.
Yeah.
It's from the who? The foo what? Fukushima?
It's from the
It's from Fukushima. It's irradiated.
Oh, it's from the nuclear.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's created from Japan's most famous and
Wait,
delicious.
Wait, you kept saying it's from the foo. It's
I
from
know,
the foo.
But I kinda
and then
got
you
that.
Said it's created. When you finally read the word, it was created. It didn't begin foo at all.
I was going to say it's from the Fukuoka region.
Oh, it's from the Fukuoka region. Well, I knew.
Not important. What
no,
is it?
I knew that.
It's created from Japan's most famous and delicious amu strawberries from the Fukuoka region.
Okay, so it's a kind of strawberry.
You don't have to tell me when something is created from the Fukuoka region.
No, you don't.
That's something
it's a little
that
insulting,
I just, buddy. Yeah, I just know that.
And
I mean,
guess
that's
what the name of it is. What kind of Kit Kat?
Strawberry.
I mean, because we've had like
Fukuwama strawberry Kit Kat.
Fukuwama
you're
strawberry.
Close. We've had yuzu sake and yuzu matcha, shigen mochi.
Yeah.
Guess what this one is?
Fukuwama.
Close.
What?
Strawberry.
It's just called
it's just
strawberry.
Called strawberry.
It's just called strawberry? Well, that's not close at all.
Well, that's a finely crafted joke, Bonnie Burns. See, that's, Paula, I just want to let you know. Because I know you're still kind of new to this comedy thing, but I think we just learned something from Bonnie.
Yeah.
When you set up a call and response type joke, and people aren't saying what you want them to say, you just keep fucking asking that question again and again until they set you up right, because that puts them in the mood to laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that was...
It's called Star. Delightful bon mot there. Thank you, Bonnie. Is that all we have, Kit Kat-wise?
Well, it feels like, you know, timing-wise, we're done.
Yeah. Wow! We are really done if Bonnie Burns says we're done. Bonnie Burns, everybody.
Thank you
Bonnie
very
Burns,
much.
Captain Crinkle.
That That was wonderful. All right, nobodies. This Kit Kat is strawberry. It's from the Fukuoka district. Nice.
All right.
We're washing our hands for the last time. Remember, our email again is nobodylistensToPaulaPoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam the Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezemnik, and Tony Anita Hull. And mixing by Michael Hoagie. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Jacqueline Rainey. Thank you so much. And thanks to our guest, Mark Weiss. Starburns production by Land Romo. Technical direction by Jessica Gutierrez. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Well, that was a relatively controlled Bonnie Burns appearance.
It was nuanced, concise, directed. Each paragraph had an opening sentence that remained the topic sentence throughout.
It did not.
It did.
That
it
was, Bernardi guy is bluffing, by the way, right?
No, I don't think so. He said the court order is in the mail. It's the U.S. mail.
I'll believe it when I see it. Beautiful.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.
If you're a small business owner, Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads. Upswell specializes in building and managing custom direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. New customers also receive 15% off their first order. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. If you're a small business owner, Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads. Upswell specializes in building and managing custom direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies. New customers also receive 15% off their first order. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.